Mario leaves practice a little early, right after Coach Olchek ran them through some odd man rushes in hope of taking advantage of some holes in Minnesota's defense tomorrow. It's not anything out of the ordinary. Sometimes there's a meeting that can't be rescheduled, or Mario just needs the trainers to work something out. But Mario's nowhere to be seen after practice, either, which wouldn't be so strange if he hadn't driven them all that morning. His things are still in his locker, though, so when they're done with post-practice interviews, Jenny collects Sid and they head over to the trainer's room, thinking Mario might still be there. "Hey, have you seen Mario?" Sid asks, when they walk in to see the trainers talking in a hushed huddle. They exchange a series of looks that makes Sid decidedly concerned. Jim says, "You'd better call Natalie." Sid was concerned before, but this feels like a sick weight in the bottom of his stomach. "Is he okay?" Sid asks.
"We can't talk about it,"
Jim says,
"but it'll..." "Just call her, okay?"
Zhenya already has his cell phone out, and once he's dialed, he hands it over to Sid. "Hi, Gino," Natalie says, after two rings.
"No, it's Sid. Is everything okay?"
"Mario wasn't feeling well after practice. He thought it might be the flu still,"
Natalie says. She sounds surprisingly calm and steady for all this mystery, so maybe everything is fine.
"He's experiencing an irregular heartbeat. With his history, they decided to have him come to the hospital and stay overnight, just for observation."
"Oh," Sid says, trying to wrap his head around this. Jenny nudges him with his elbow. He tilts the bottom of the phone away from his mouth to say, "They're checking up on his heart. He's going to be in the hospital overnight."
"It's just for observation,"
Natalie says, like she's trying to reassure Sid, when Sid should be the one trying to make her feel better.
"What do you need? We can run things over to you at the hospital. Anything,"
Sid says. He hopes they can at least take something off of Natalie's plate.
"Well, I was actually just about to call you. Can you pick up the kids from school? Everyone but Alexa has something after school today, so you need to get her by 3:20. I called the office. They know to expect you. The rest of them should be done at 4:30.
"Absolutely,"
Sid says. He glances at the clock on the wall. They should be able to stop at home and switch cars.
"I have to go in a minute, but put Gino on the phone. I'm going to give him the directions. Mario's keys are in his bag. Just dump all his stuff in there, and you can drive his car home."
"Okay,"
Sid says. It's probably for the best. Jenny is a lot better with directions than he is. He hands the phone over and thanks the trainers while Jenny talks to Natalie. They collect Mario's things and head out to the car. They're quiet on the way home. Both of them know it won't do any good to speculate when they know so little about what's going on, but at the last red light before they turn into their neighborhood, Jenny reaches over and squeezes Sid's shoulder once.
"Gonna be okay,"
Jenny says firmly, like he can will it to be true.
"Yeah,"
Sid says. He takes a deep breath. They take Sid's SUV. It'll be a tight fit for them, four kids and two hockey bags, but they should make it. They went to the school once before to pick up the kids, but it's a good thing Natalie gave Jenya instructions, because Sid can't remember the way. They squeak in with a few minutes to spare, park the car, and head into the office. They find Alexa chatting with two other students, who break off suddenly to stare at Jenya and Sid.
"Hey!"
Alexa says, jumping up to hug them both quickly.
"Where's Mom?"
Sid says,
before deciding honesty is the best policy. "She went with your dad to a doctor's appointment that's going to take a long time."
"Oh,"
she says. She's frowning a little, but she nods.
"Okay. Can we go get ice cream while we wait for everyone else?"
"One scoop each,"
Jenny says sternly, and Alexa grins, knowing she's already won.
"Is there... do we need to..."
Sid asks, totally unsure of the protocol. The previous time, all four kids met them in the lobby.
"Could I see some ID, please?"
the secretary says, and Sid digs his license out of his wallet and hands it over.
"And sign here."
"Sure, sorry," Sid says. He fills in the blanks on the sheet. His name is Sidney Crosby. He's picking up Alexa Lemieux. It's 3:20 on December 7th. "Thank you so much."
"Sid!"
Alexa says from the doorway, near Zhenya. She's already got her backpack on.
"Bye, guys! Bye, Mrs. Walters!"
Alexa knows the way to two different ice cream shops that are close to the school, and offers Sid and Zhenya the choice with a philosophical shrug.
"There's the Dairy Queen across the river, which, blizzards, but the one on Beaver Street has more flavors."
Both Sid and Alexa look at Zhenya, who, after a moment of serious thought, says,
"More flavors."
The little shop is empty, probably because it's windy and below freezing outside. This turns out to be good. Alexa tries a reasonable 3 flavors before deciding on cake confetti, but Zhenya tries upwards of 10. The slightly star-struck expressions on the faces of the teenage servers suggest that Zhenya could rob the store and they wouldn't care, though. Sid is most of the way through his enormous single scoop of mint chocolate chip by the time Zhenya settles on death by chocolate. They sign something for the staff, partially in thanks for letting Zhenya try every flavor in the store, and eat their ice cream in the car so they don't freeze to death. Zhenya reaches over with his spoon and sneaks some of Sid's ice cream, humming happily around his stolen bite.
"Didn't you already try it in the store?"
Sid asks. He takes some of Zhenya's in retaliation. It's so rich that Sid can't imagine eating a whole scoop of it, even with his sweet tooth, but one bite is unbelievably good.
"Tastes better when it's yours,"
Zhenya says, because he's a dick. Sid has to move fast to keep the last of his ice cream out of Zhenya's long reach.
"Sid not sharing anymore, Alexa. You have to share."
"I'm not sharing! You take monster bites!"
Zhenya reaches back with his spoon, and she practically dives out of the way. He grins like a loon the whole time, sharing a conspiratorial look with Sid.
"Are you sure you're not an older brother?"
Alexa asks, her eyes narrowed.
"No, I'm baby," he croons. "Just like you."
Alexa gives him a look that clearly says, "Yeah, right." Sid starts back to the school to get the other kids. When he stays in the right lane, Alexa says,
"Sid, turn left!"
It's a little sad to realize the 8-year-old is the least directionally challenged person in the car, but they make it back to school. Lauren gets in the car first, while Stephanie and Austin are still grappling with their gear bags.
"Hey, where's Mom?"
she asks.
"She's at a doctor's appointment with Dad,"
Alexa says. Lauren frowns, but doesn't say anything more about it. Instead, she pushes everyone around until all four kids are in the back seat with seatbelts on. When they get home, Sid figures they should try to get the kids to do their homework first, and he'll find something in the fridge or the freezer they can all eat. The kids spread their homework all over the dining room table, and it looks like a lot for four kids, none of whom are in high school yet, but they don't blink an eye at it. Sid leaves Zhenya to answer any questions while he takes a look at the fridge. He eventually finds the emergency frozen pizzas, which seem like their best bet. He puts them in the oven and makes a salad. He even remembers to leave the bell peppers on the side, because he, Zhenya, and Lauren will eat them, but basically no one else will. Zhenya comes in around the time Sid finishes with the salad, which is also when the pizza starts smelling cheesy and great, and hovers over Sid's shoulder, stealing some pieces of carrot.
"Smells good," he says.
"It's not going to be done for another 10 minutes, Sid warns him. Zhenya sighs and thunks his head against Sid's shoulder dramatically.
"Okay," he says. "Thank you for cooking."
"It was no problem," Sid says. Zhenya's head is heavy on his shoulder, but it feels nice having him close.
"Did you check their homework, or is there still more?"
"Lots,"
Zhenya says, half sympathetic, half horrified.
"I never have so much. You need to do English, maybe history too, maybe science."
"Did you actually do anything?"
Sid asks, mostly to give Zhenya shit.
I'm due all math, most problems.
Zhenya squawks, poking Sid in the side. Only the ding of the oven timer stops them from trying to headlock each other in the kitchen, and Zhenya still manages to get in his way when he goes to take the pizzas out, leaning in to stare at them and sniff deeply. You're going to set your head on fire, dummy, Sid says. He doesn't want to push Zhenya next to an open oven, but he does want to get him out of the way.
You too slow. Not take out fast enough.
Zhenya complains, but he moves, so Sid doesn't have to point out that Zhenya is the reason he couldn't take the pizzas out. Go get the kids, Sid says. He takes off his oven mitts and reaches for the pizza cutter.
Give me biggest,
Zhenya says, jogging Sid's elbow as he leans in over the pizzas. No one's getting any if you don't get out of my face, Sid gripes. Zhenya immediately smushes his face against Sid's. Their noses bump.
Now I'm in face,
Zhenya says. He's warm against Sid's face for just a moment, before he pulls away and heads for the dining room. Sid hears him say,
Clear table, time for pizza,
and has to roll his eyes. Salad first, Sid says, when the kids come tromping in seconds later. Yeah, okay, Mom, Lauren says. She fills half her plate with the salad, and, of course, takes almost all the bell peppers. Thanks for making dinner, Sid. There's a chorus of sounds that approximate thank you from everyone. Sid dishes up the pizza. He has to smack Zhenya's hand with his spatula when he reaches for a fourth piece.
I cut our pizza big, Sid says. We each get three pieces. That's half. I'm hungry,
Zhenya says mournfully. Then eat your half now, and if you're still hungry, there's some leftover chicken in the fridge. Don't steal my pizza, jerk, Sid says, pulling his pieces onto his plate quickly to stop Zhenya from making a play for them.
So mean,
Zhenya sighs, clearly trying to play it up for the kids, who laugh.
Yeah, right, Stephanie says. Mom makes us each take a piece at a time.
Sid notes that all of them have at least two pieces of pizza on their plate. He thinks about trying to enforce normal household rules for about 2 seconds, and shrugs. Come on, it's getting cold, he says, herding everyone back out into the dining room. Dinner-time conversation is about one-third school drama, one-third talking about the weekend, and one-third greedy speculation about Christmas presents. Austin and Stephanie argue about the chances of Mary and Natalie making them a real backdoor rink if they leverage Sid and Zhenya's presence in the house. Sid notices Lauren looking at the clock and frowning.
You okay? He asks her.
Yeah, she says slowly. But there's still a hint of something worried in the way her eyebrows draw together. Sid isn't sure what to say to make her feel better, but Alexa asks her what she wants Santa to bring her, and Lauren gets distracted talking about the camera she asked for. Alexa, in her turn, talks about horseback riding lessons.
You hear?
Zhenya asks, nudging Sid's knee with his. Sid pauses. He can just barely hear his phone ringing in the other room. He dashes to grab it and probably just makes it. He flips it open. Hello?
Hey, Sid,
Natalie says. She sounds a little tired, but still calm, so Sid tries to make himself breathe.
I wasn't sure if you would cook or go out to dinner, so I thought I'd try yourself first.
No, we're at home, just finishing dinner now. We had pizza and salad, he says. He notices the red indicator light on the oven and belatedly remembers to turn it off.
Thanks. Was there enough for everyone? There's some leftovers from yesterday in the fridge, too, if you boys are still hungry.
Zhenya will probably take care of those for you, Sid says. She chuckles. Everything's still... How's Mario? How are you?
He's fine. He's sleeping already, actually,
she says, her wry fondness coming across loud and clear, even over the phone.
I'll probably be home before midnight, but the kids know they should be in bed by 8:30. Don't let them try to tell you otherwise. Lauren can stay up a little later, but lights out by 9.
Sure,
said Saz. Anything else?
Yeah, can you put them on the phone with me? I just want to say goodnight.
Each of them gets a little time on the phone with her, mostly in French, but with the occasional English phrase dropped in. Sid thinks he's going to have to practice French more. He's been so focused on his impromptu Russian lessons with Zhanya, Sergei, and Constantine that his French feels rusty.
Mom says bedtime at 9,
Stephanie says, grinning a little.
Nice try, Sid says, and rolls his eyes.
Worth a shot,
Austin says. He shrugs and gives Stephanie a high five.
Hey, Sid, Gina said you had to look over my writing assignment.
Okay, he says. You guys all done with dinner? They clear their plates and responsibly put them in the dishwasher before the homework session begins again. Austin's paragraph is good and fits the assignment, which is to persuade the reader that lunch should be 10 minutes longer. It needs a few commas, but is otherwise fine. Lauren's history homework is next. It takes less than half an hour for them all to finish up. They catch almost all of some American Idol promo-slash-recap show after a dogfight over the remote that Zhanya finally ends by hitting numbers at random and then sticking with his choice. There's a little grumbling, but everyone gets into it pretty quickly. Zhanya leans back and stretches out with his legs on the ottoman. He rests his arm across the back of the couch, and his knuckles brush against Sid's shoulder.
So, you sing,
Zhanya says, trying to figure out the premise of the show.
They're refs?
He asks, as the camera shows the panel of judges.
Yeah, Sid says. Judges. They're pretty much always wrong,
Stephanie says, kicking her feet against the couch from where she's sprawled out on the floor.
They find best?
Zhanya asks. Austin makes a so-so motion. Like, the best person to sell CDs, he says dismissively.
Whatever, they've all been garbage since the first season,
Lauren says, with all the 12-year-old scorn she can muster.
Kelly Clarkson is the best.
I like Jennifer last season,
Austin protests. Lauren makes a face, but nods.
Okay, yes, she can stay,
she says grudgingly.
She was cool.
Lauren's favorite always gets kicked off early,
Stephanie whispers.
She's the worst at it. Shut up, I am not,
Lauren says.
Whatever, Clake and Fan.
Yeah, it's time for bed, Sid says, because the show's almost over, and it's clear that if they watch until the end, a real fight is going to break out. They're the usual protests, but they just seem to be for the form of it. The kids trudge up the stairs easily enough. Sid does the same checking he would do if he were watching Taylor while his parents were out. Did you brush your teeth, or is your toothbrush just wet? Did you put your clothes in the hamper, not on the bathroom floor? They're good kids, and apparently pretty tired. Austin's already asleep by the time Sid and Jenny are done reading a story to Alexa, and Stephanie turns out her light after they say goodnight. When they poke their heads into Lauren's room, she asks,
Hey, can I read for a few more minutes? I want to finish my chapter.
Sid glances at Zhanya, who shrugs.
How many more pages?
He asks. Lauren flips through.
Like 10.
Okay, then lights out, Sid says. Night, Lauren.
Night,
she says, already reabsorbed in her book.
Good night. Sleep soon, or Mama not let us babysit,
Zhanya says. She rolls her eyes, but smiles and nods.
Good night, Gino,
she says, and waves them out. They head for the stairs.
We wait for Natalie?
Zhanya asks. Yeah, Sid says, because they should make sure she gets home safely. Want to go back downstairs and watch a movie?
I pick,
Zhanya says firmly.
You always pick,
Sid says, but he lets Zhanya put on the next Harry Potter movie. It's really just background noise, given the number of times he's seen it. Zhanya's sprawled out over his half of the couch, slumping deeper with every passing minute. They're shoulder to shoulder, and Zhanya's getting heavier against him.
Jenny pushes the ottoman a little further away as he tries to stretch out his legs, and then Sids can't comfortably rest on it anymore.
Knock it off. You keep moving it, Sid says.
I want to lie down, Jenny grumbles. Can't get comfortable.
You're already taking up all the room, Sid says. Jenny is already halfway onto the cushion Sid's sitting on. What if I want to lie down? Jenny rolls his eyes, a habit he's definitely picked up from the kids, and says a few things under his breath in Russian about being spoiled, which Sid recognizes from the number of times it's been thrown around the Russian breakfast table when Jenny nudges the grapes and the fruit salad over toward Sid. Then Jenny manhandles Sid until they're both lying down. Jenny is stretched out behind Sid, with a pillow underneath so he can prop himself up a little higher to see over Sid's head.
Now we both lie down,
Jenny says, sounding pleased with himself. He feels warm and solid where he's plastered along Sid's back.
I feel like I'm about to fall off, Sid says, because the couch wasn't designed to have two hockey players lie down on it at the same time.
Jenny sighs deeply, which Sid can feel against his shoulders, and throws an arm over him. If Sid thought they were close before, it's nothing compared to how it feels when Jenny pulls him tight and leaves his arm there, secure around Sid's waist.
Not fall off now,
Jenny says quietly, right into Sid's ear.
And shush, and Miss Hermione explain everything.
Sid finds himself fighting off a drowsy heaviness in his limbs. Jenny's breathing is slow and easy against Sid's back, and soon they're breathing in sync. Jenny shows no sign that he's planning on moving, or that he minds that Sid's mostly resting against him. And, well, if Jenny doesn't mind, everything's fine. It's really good. He would have thought he'd feel like it was too close, even with Shania. But instead, after everything that's happened today and the craziness of last month, Sid feels safe, insulated from everything else. He knows he dozes off, because he keeps blinking his eyes open to find he's about 10 minutes further into the movie. Maybe Shania is half asleep too, because his nose is buried in Sid's hair, and his breathing is so even. It's not until Sid hears the sound of the garage door motor that he really wakes up. He blinks blearily.
Jenya, wake up,
Sid says, squirming a little. Jenya's arm is still firm around his waist, and it actually tightens briefly. Jenya makes a disgruntled noise, but Sid can feel him stretching out a bit, and finally he lets go. Sid shivers as he sits up. He feels colder where Jenny was pressed up against him. Hey, Natalie says, sounding tired and surprised to see them. Boys, you didn't have to stay up. You have a game tomorrow. We wanted to make sure everything was okay, or see if you needed anything, Sid says.
Can take kids to school tomorrow,
Jenny says. He's mostly sitting up now, but his voice is low and scratchy. Natalie shakes her head, but she's smiling. I'm going over to the hospital as soon as I take the kids to school, but I really appreciate this, boys, she says. It means a lot. Sid is happy to do anything for Natalie, who takes care of them so much, so he just says, anytime. Jenny nods emphatically.
We even make kids go to bed at 8:30,
he reports. Natalie laughs. Good. Now, off to bed with both of you. It takes a while for them to make it up the stairs, and they basically collapse into bed after brushing their teeth.
Hey,
Jenny says, as Sid plugs in his phone and sets the alarm. Sid glances over to where Jenny's hand is out. For a moment, Sid thinks Jenny wants his phone.
But Jenny flaps his hand impatiently, and Sid realizes he wants a high five.
We good babysit team,
Jenny says, as Sid slaps his hand down over Jenny's. For sure, Sid agrees, smiling. Mario comes home the next morning, and he doesn't look any different. Maybe a little more tired,
but otherwise the same as always. But he must feel different, because he's a scratch for the next game, enlisted as day-to-day. It's when he withdraws his name from consideration for the Olympic team that Sid really starts to worry. In the middle of December, they arrive at practice and learn the entire coaching staff has been fired.
"Did you guys know?"
Colby whispers, nodding at Mario, who's standing off to one side.
"No,"
Sid says, equally stunned. "And he wouldn't. We don't talk about that stuff at home. In fact, unless it's about the kids, they rarely talk about hockey at all." Their new coach arrives in short order, and Michel Therrien is plainly not there to be any player's friend. Where Olchik was expansive and open, Therrien is contained and stern. There's a different atmosphere to the locker room, to practice, but Sid's been through a lot of coaches. He can adapt. Zhenya, though, Zhenya seems to thrive. Zhenya nodded along to a lot of what Olchik said, and did his best, but with Therrien, Zhenya seems to be really listening. The new coaching staff isn't the only thing on Sid's mind. The Olympic rosters for the Turin Games are going to be announced soon, and he knows his name is in the mix. He gets question after question from the media about it, and he knows he's the focus of a lot of debate. Pat's told him everything's up in the air, but oh, how Sid wants it. It'd be amazing to play with Sakic and Gagne and Draper. Zhenya likewise wants to play for Russia. He's proud of his country, and it comes out when they watch a special on the Russian Five. They won the gold medal in 1988, and it's not hard to see why.
"When I'm kid, I want to play Olympics like them,"
Zhenya says. On the screen, Larionov passes to Fedotsov, who passes to Makarov, who puts the puck home in a wide-open net. It's precise and beautiful, and Zhenya's expression is yearning. For Zhenya, though, the question of the Olympics is complicated.
"Do you think they'll call?
The national team, I mean." Zhenya's been spending more time with their PR guy and George on Russian media requests in the last week. Zhenya lifts his shoulders in a short, angry shrug, then spits toothpaste into the sink.
"Maybe," he says.
He grimaces.
"Maybe not, if Magnitka make trouble."
"But it's the Olympics," Sid says helplessly. He can't imagine the Penguins, for example, telling Team Canada that he wasn't available. Zhenya's lips twist unhappily.
"Sound like nobody wants me unless they need."
"They should call," Sid says, and squeezes Zhenya's shoulder. "They're not going to do better than you." "And they're not. Leaving Zhenya off the team would be dumb."
"Canada most dumb," Zhenya retorts. "If they don't call you."
Sid shakes his head. He really doesn't know, not one way or the other. He just wants it, and all he can do is keep playing his best to show them he's ready. On December 20th, Zhenya gets a call. They're both sitting on the couch, Sid with a book and Zhenya with the sleek laptop he bought. Zhenya checks his phone and looks a little like he might be sick.
"You going to answer it?"
Sid says gently. Zhenya sighs, opens his phone, and says hello in Russian. What follows is a very tense, solemn conversation, and Zhenya says, "Yes, yes, of course, okay, thank you for the opportunity," but there's no joy in his expression. He looks miserable, and Sid puts his book aside and scoots closer on the couch. Zhenya closes his phone and looks very close to pitching it across the room. "Hey," Sid says. He wraps his arms around Zhenya. "You okay?"
"I'm not on team. I'm extra,"
Zhenya says heavily. "Alternate," Sid supplies. He wonders if the national team is deliberately twisting the knife. Zhenya sighs and tucks his chin over Sid's head. "Going to be bad," he says. "Lots of questions. Berisay Magnitka, Olympic team, big fight." Sid has no trouble believing that. He just hugs Zhenya a little tighter. It's all he can do. The next day, the Canadian roster is set to be announced at a primetime press conference. Sid tries to keep his mind off it. He goes into Melon in the morning with Zhenya to get a workout in, then to the mall to buy some Christmas presents. He keeps his phone in his pocket, and tries not to look at it too often as they debate gifts for the kids. But it doesn't ring, and doesn't ring. They get home, and there's still no call. They eat an early dinner with the whole family. Maria doesn't say anything, and Sid knows he wouldn't, even if he knew. There's a rule about phones at the table, but just this once, Sid keeps his in his pocket. He barely tastes dinner at all. And then it's only an hour until the scheduled press conference, and Sid breaks. "They'd have called already, wouldn't they?" he asks Mario. "If I was going." Mario looks at him steadily. "Probably," he says gently. Sid tells himself it's dumb to be upset, to be disappointed. He's only 18. Everyone's telling him he's too young. Maria pulls him in for a hug and tucks him under his chin. Sid feels small, but not in a bad way. He rests his face against Mario's shoulder and feels his eyes prick with tears. "Next time," Maria says into his hair. But 2010 seems an eternity away. "Yeah," Sid says. When he pulls back, he looks away, because he really doesn't want to cry over this. Not in front of anyone, but especially not in front of Maria. He doesn't want to give anyone more reasons to think he's just a kid. "I'm gonna head upstairs," he says, and doesn't wait for a response before he goes. He still watches the press conference. Gretzky announces name after name, and he knows it's not going to happen. But when they finally announce the alternates, that's when he knows it's over. He's not going to Turin. Zhenya finds him curled up on the couch with his arms wrapped around his knees, watching what's shaping up to be a wild game between the Oilers and the Canucks. He sits down next to Sid. "It's fine," Sid says eventually. "Next time, maybe." He swallows around the lump in his throat. Zhenya's quiet for a moment. "Sorry," he says. "It's fine," Sid insists. His phone rings. It's his dad, and he knows he has to answer. He retreats to the kitchen before he picks up. It's hard to keep his cool. They talk about Taylor and his mom and his grandmother first, like his dad is trying to ease into it, and the whole time all Sid can think is, when are we going to talk about it?
"Did you watch?"
his dad finally asks, after they've talked about the repairs he's going to have to make on the deck when spring comes. "Yeah," Sid says. There's an awful moment where he thinks his dad's going to go through the whole roster and talk it out. But his dad just says,
"Well."
Sid fights the urge to apologize. "Yeah," he says. He's going to have to figure out something to say about it, but he's hoping he'll go into Melon tomorrow and someone will have written something for him and he can just memorize it and say it again and again. But that's tomorrow. Tonight there's nothing to say.
"You're playing your best,"
his dad says, more gently than Sid can handle right now. And he bites down on his lip, hard.
"That's what matters."
"Yeah," Sid says again. He knows it's absolutely not how his dad meant it at all, but it sounds a lot like, "You're playing your best, and that's still not good enough."
"Your mother sends her love,"
his dad says, a little awkwardly. Sid can hear her talking in the background, but he can't make out what she's saying.
You just focus on the game in front of you.
Right, said Sass. I will.
And we'll see you in a couple of days,
his dad adds, and now it seems like he's on firmer ground.
Your sister hasn't talked about anything but coming down to see you.
You mean Stephanie, Sid says, something almost like a smile twitching his lips up.
Well, also you,
his dad says, and chuckles.
Get some rest, kiddo.
Okay, Sid says. See you soon. His dad hangs up, and Sid goes back to the living room and drops down on the couch. On the TV, Ryan Smythe scores, and the Oilers are up by one. Ryan Smythe is going to Turin. He's played for Edmonton for over 10 years. Maybe Sid's just a kid after all, dreaming he's ready. Zhenya goes to bed before him. Sid stays up to watch the rest of the third. Edmonton scores again. Vancouver gets one back, but it's not enough. And then turns off the TV and gets ready for bed. The lamp between their beds is turned on low, and Zhenya's under the covers and maybe asleep. His eyes are closed, anyway. He's all the way on the right side of his bed. Sid stands awkwardly between their beds and dithers, wondering if it's a coincidence or an invitation or what. He should grow up, he tells himself. He should be too old for this. He should just get on with it and do what his dad says. Focus on the game on Friday. Zhenya sighs, and it's not a sleep noise. Sid, he says. Sid jumps a little, but decides to get in. He gingerly lifts up the corner of Zhenya's covers, crawls into his bed, and turns out the light. He tries not to take up too much room. It's Zhenya's bed, after all. He tries to be still, because Zhenya probably wants to fall asleep. Sid's not sure he will. This feels like the kind of night where he ends up staring at the ceiling for a long, long time. Zhenya sighs again, and curls his big body around Sid so they're cocooned in sheets and blankets and darkness. Zhenya coaxes him closer, and tucks Sid's face against his shoulder. With all the distractions of the day gone, all Sid is left with are his failures. He works so hard, but he's still not good enough. Not for the Penguins, not for Team Canada. He's so frustrated! And tomorrow, he's going to have to answer questions, and people are going to ask him if being left off the team will change how he plays, and he'll have to answer the right way. And then they'll ask him about Mario, and he'll have to answer that the right way, too. They'll ask him if he really thought he was ready, if he thought he had it. And he'll have to not snap that he's doing his best. He'll have to not say that part of him worries they were right to leave him off. He takes a few uneven breaths. When he trusts his voice not to shake too much, he asks quietly, "Did I have a shot?" Zhenya rubs his back in slow circles. "Yes," he says firmly. "If you rush him, you play. Bad luck, Canada. Too many players." "Players better than me." "Maybe. But you ready?" He thought he was, too. He believed it. He listened to the people who said he could make a difference. Tears leak from his eyes into Zhenya's t-shirt. "You ready?" Zhenya repeats, still rubbing Sid's back. "Don't listen if they say you not." He doesn't want to cry over this, but now that he's started, he can't stop. He tries to do it as quietly as he can, tries not to sob for breath, and Zhenya murmurs softly in Russian until he's done. They lie there for a few minutes. Zhenya's t-shirt is wet under his cheek. It's probably pretty gross. "Sorry," Sid whispers. Jenny makes a disgruntled noise. Don't say sorry, he says. And he says, be right back, and gets out of bed. Jenny turns on the light in the bathroom, and Sid hears water running in the sink. Then the light is off again, and Jenny's footsteps pad across the bedroom floor. The bed shifts again as he gets back in. Jenny finds Sid's face in the dark with his hand, and then he's pressing something cool and damp and rough to Sid's face. A washcloth.
Clean face, Jenny says, then put on eyes.
Sid thinks about arguing, but he doesn't. Just wipes his face and folds the washcloth and lays it over his eyes. Thanks, Sid says. He feels better, and he really didn't think he was going to tonight.
This summer, my mama do for me a lot. I'm worry a lot. Sad.
He pulls Sid into his arms again.
I read your letters all the time. It helps. So now you don't say sorry. Don't thank.
Sid doesn't know what to say to that, but he doesn't have time to formulate a response, because Jenny holds him tighter still and whispers in his ear,
you are my Sidnyusha. I'm always have your back.
Sid feels his face go hot again under the cooling washcloth. Shanya, he says helplessly. Jenny takes the washcloth away.
You sleep now, okay?
He's still not sure he can, but he'd say yes to anything Jenny asked right now.
He'll try.
Okay.
Good.
And it turns out Sid doesn't have to try so hard after all. The day catches up with him in a hurry, and he slides into sleep. They decorated most of the house early in December. Natalie directed them all in hanging the garland on the banisters and putting the lights on the tree that they spent the better part of an hour choosing. They had to bring out a step stool for even Jenny to string lights on the top, which is ridiculous, but Sid can't deny that the tree looks pretty majestic in the formal living room. The tree skirt tucks beneath it, an accumulating presence at an alarming rate. Apparently, they'll wait to put the ornaments on until both sets of grandparents arrive on Christmas Eve. Right now, it looks a little bare during the day, but when it's all lit up in white in the evening, it makes Sid want to lie on the floor like a little kid and let it twinkle at him. Jenny seems to take each new tradition in stride. He listens carefully to the litany of things that the kids share with him when they find out it's Jenny's first North American Christmas. They're horrified when he tells them that his family doesn't make a big deal out of Christmas, but settle down when he explains how Russian New Year's Eve goes. Alexa pats his knee and says, as long as you get presents. But Zhenya's delighted when the kids make a special point to include him in all their crafts and baking. They make Sid and Zhenya build a gingerbread house. Sid spends a lot of time stopping Zhenya from trying to eat their house, and then all the decorations for their house. We can make gingerbread if you want some. This stuff is like cardboard, Sid says.
You take long time to make me cake from summer.
Jenny says, stealing some more gumdrops.
I get gingerbread in March.
You're gonna get coal in your stocking, that's what you're gonna get, Sid says, elbowing him. After they're done trying to noogie each other, and Sid is frosting in his hair and Jenny has it all over his shirt, Sid explains about coal in the stocking, and they finally finish their lopsided house. The kids' houses all look better than theirs, which of course means Natalie puts theirs dead center in her little sideboard display for all their holiday guests to see. Stephanie adds two little Sour Patch people in front of the door, and Austin decides that Sid is the red one and Jenny is the green one, because the red one is shorter.
Good. Very true,
Jenny says solemnly. They're the same size, Sid protests. Jenny reinforces the point by pressing the red one a little deeper into the frosting.
There, I fix, he says.
It's a good thing there isn't any more frosting, or Jenny would have a face full of it. Jenny doesn't spend all his time with Sid and the Lemieux. Jenny and Max discovered a mutual love of pool while on the road, so now Gino and Talbot pool nights are a thing.
It's nice to see Zhenya getting closer with some of the other guys. And to be honest, Sid is not great at pool, and he's a terrible loser, so it's better to leave them to it. Their last game before the short Christmas break is against the Flyers, but at least it's at home, so they don't have to deal with the cheering of the Philly crowd when they lose. 4-5. There's no time to dwell on it, though. Sid drives straight from his post-game interviews to the airport to pick up his family. He listens to the station that's been playing Christmas music non-stop since Halloween to take the place of the normal stream of talk from the passenger seat. It feels a little strange driving somewhere without Zhenya in the car. He has to do a couple of loops around the arrivals lane because the police officers politely shoo him along when he tries to wait by the doors. On his third loop, he sees Taylor waving her arms at him like a flight controller. Next to her, his father is trying to organize their luggage into a neat pile. They have a surprising amount of luggage for the few days they'll be down, but when he helps lift them into the car, with Taylor wrapped around his midsection, they're pretty light. "Careful, your presents are in there," his mom says with a smile. She leans in to kiss Sid on the cheek. "It's good to see you, baby." "Hi, Mom," Sid says. He's already happier. She hugs him tightly, and Taylor squirms her way into the hug, too. Sid breathes the cold air in, and some of the tension eases out of his shoulders. When his mom and Taylor finally let go, his dad moves in.
"You look good,"
he says, clapping Sid on the shoulder.
"Heard it was a tough game."
"Yeah," Sid sighs. Their last three games have been tight and close, but ultimately all losses. Sid is ready for the new year, and, he hopes, a new leaf. "We need to check in at the hotel. I printed out directions. I'll navigate for you," his mother says firmly. She's obviously sleepy, but Taylor campaigns to be allowed to go home with Sid to sleep over with Stephanie. His mom rolls her eyes. "You'd only fall asleep on the way over," she says. "Sydney, are you sure you'll be okay to drive back to the Lemieux house? I know you have to be tired after the game, honey. We appreciate you coming out to get us." "I'm okay," Sid says. He pulls into the hotel parking lot. "Well, you be sure to call us when you get there," his mom says, "or if you end up needing directions." "I will," Sid promises. He helps them with the luggage, but his parents send him off immediately afterwards. "We'll see you tomorrow," his mom says. "Hey," Taylor says sleepily, looking at her watch. "Merry Christmas Eve." In the car, Sid again turns the radio up loud enough to keep him company. When he gets home, he heads up the stairs as quietly as possible, mindful of Mario and Natalie's parents in the guest rooms. Sid feels a little guilty about that. He and Zhenya are taking up their suite. He calls his mom quickly and fishes in the fridge for a Gatorade. He drinks most of it before heading quietly into the bedroom. The lamp is on, and Zhenya is sleeping slumped against the headboard with the den's dog-eared copy of Holes next to him on the bed. Sid doesn't want to wake Zhenya up, but he also doesn't want him to get a crick in his neck, so he nudges Zhenya until he murmurs,
"No practice, Sid,"
and flops down into a more comfortable sprawl. Sid bites down on a laugh. He tugs the blankets up to make sure Zhenya's warm and settled, and heads to the bathroom to brush his teeth. He slips into bed, turns out the light, and even though he's sure Zhenya's asleep, whispers, "Good night." Sid falls asleep to the familiar rhythm of Zhenya's breathing. Sid's alarm wakes him up the next morning. Zhenya makes a sad wookie noise and pulls the covers over his head. Sid lies there for a moment and contemplates doing the same, but he knows his family's waiting, so he hauls himself into the shower. Downstairs is already bustling. Natalie and Mario's parents flew in the day before, and the kids are all up and bouncing around. Sid waves and says good morning on his way out the door. The drive to the hotel is easier in the daylight, and when he calls up to the room, his mom says they'll be right down. From there, they're off to breakfast. He and Taylor both get enormous waffles with strawberries and whipped cream and maple syrup.
Vermont. Taylor sniffs in disdain. It's not quite like home, but he's with his family, and that's what matters. They do some holiday sightseeing around Pittsburgh and a little family skate at an outdoor rink. People recognize him, but are kind enough to wait until he's off the ice before approaching for autographs. He likes signing for the kids the best. One little boy hangs back from the cluster of kids who wait remarkably patiently for him to sign things. He's clutching a stuffed bear, and when he's the last one left, Sid hunkers down and says, "What's your bear's name?" The kid looks tempted to hide behind it, but visibly musters up the courage to say, "Mr. Puff." Sid nods and says, "Do you think Mr. Puff wants me to sign his shirt?" The kid looks at the bear, shuffles forward, and holds it out. Sid takes his time signing before handing it back. "Merry Christmas," he says softly. "Merry Christmas," the boy says in a rush, and then turns tail and runs back to wrap his arms around his mom's legs. Sid gets up again and looks back to see his family watching. "Sorry," he says. "We can head to the movie now, if you want." "Don't apologize, honey," his mom says. She looks perilously close to tearing up. They go to see The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Sid remembers his mom reading the books to him, and he read it to Taylor one winter break. Maybe the movie isn't quite like how he remembers the book, but it's pretty good. Then they go to dinner, and from there, back to the hotel to open presents. It's a big change from the year before, both because Sid isn't leaving his family on Christmas Eve to compete, and also he maybe got a little carried away when buying gifts. For his dad, there's a new set of golf clubs, already shipped to Cole Harbor. For his mom, a bracelet that he braved the fanciest, stuffiest jewelry store to buy. For Taylor, a summer horseback riding camp that she's always wanted to go to. They all seem to like their presents, particularly Taylor, who shrieks in his ear when she tries to strangle him with a hug. Taylor gets a few presents from their parents, but the rest are at home in Cole Harbor. "Only so much room in our suitcases," his mom says with a smile. Sid gets socks and underwear, and a wooden box. "Did you make this?" he asks his dad in surprise. His dad nods. He's been doing more woodworking in the past few years, but this seems especially nice. Sid opens it, and finds that it's filled with cards covered with his mother's careful handwriting. When he flips through them, he realizes she rewrote every card out of her recipe box. "Since you have that nice kitchen," his mom says. Taylor's present is a small but neat cross-stitch ornament of a penguin. It's terribly cute. "Thank you," he tells her, and gives her a big hug. "You can put it on your tree here," she says. He's reminded all over again what an adjustment this is for her, too. That it's not a given anymore he'll be able to come home for Christmas. That he might need his own tree and his own ornaments. He doesn't have the heart to tell her that he is neither, except for the little cross-stitch penguin. Next year, maybe. "It'll always be the first one I put on my tree," he promises. And then Sid chickens out. He wants to give his parents his last present, but he's nervous about it. So they watch Rudolph on the hotel TV, and Taylor curls up with Sid on her bed. Soon she starts to fall asleep, and Sid takes that as his cue. "Come on, bedtime," Sid says. "When's Santa coming?" Taylor mumbles.
"When you're asleep," Sid says. "Santa doesn't work different in Pittsburgh."
"Oh," she says. Sid coaxes her under the covers, and she faceplants into her pillow. "She's just like you," his mom says fondly. "Other kids ask to stay up, and you both just want to go to bed." "That hasn't changed," he says, smiling. "Natalie said lunch is at 1 tomorrow?" his mom says. He nods. "Well, have a safe drive back, sweetheart. We'll see you tomorrow." "Okay," he says. He wishes he could let his parents find out from the bank and not tell them directly, but he knows that's not the right thing to do.
The right thing is to hand them the envelope with the proof of their mortgage paid in full. "It's for you and Dad," he says, and bites his lip. Her brow furrows, but she opens the envelope, and her face goes slack with surprise. "Troy," she says, and her voice wobbles. He gets up from the armchair, crosses the room, and takes the paper from her hand. He opens and closes his mouth without a sound, and then his dad starts to cry. Sid doesn't know what to do with that. Not at all. His parents both clutch him tight. He knows his parents never intended for him to overhear them worrying about being behind on mortgage payments, but he did. And he knows that when it was a choice between paying bills and paying Sid's skating coach, or clinic registration, or tournament fees, they often went without so that Sid could keep going with hockey. He can't ever pay them back for everything they've done. But he can do this, and he can play his very best, and he'll have to hope that that's enough. "Merry Christmas," he whispers. "Oh, baby," his mom says, and his dad just hugs him tighter. He drives back to the Lemieux's, and is careful not to make too much noise when he comes in. As he suspected, the house is quiet. Everyone is napping before midnight mass. Everyone except Zhenya, that is, who is sprawled on the couch watching Die Hard. "This is the best Christmas movie," he tells Zhenya, who makes room for him on the couch. Zhenya looks at him like he's demented. "Just watch. You'll see," Sid says. He snuggles into Zhenya's side a little, and Zhenya's arm slides off the couch to curl around his shoulders. "After a few minutes," Sid says, "how was your day?" "Good," Zhenya says. "Lots of rest, and talk to some friends. How is family?"
"Good," Sid says simply.
"You give parents big presents?" he asks. Zhenya was the one who suggested Sid call Pat for help when he first mentioned paying off his parents' mortgage.
"Yeah," Sid says. "I didn't want it to be a big deal, but it was kind of a big deal."
"My parents cry when I buy a house," Zhenya says. There's a melancholy note to his voice. Even if Christmas isn't a holiday Zhenya particularly cares about, with everyone else's family coming to visit, Zhenya has to be missing his. Sid puts his hand on Zhenya's shoulder.
"Mine too," he says.
Zhenya's arm tightens around his shoulders, and after a moment, he lays his head on top of Sid's. Sid wakes up to the kids arguing in whispers about who gets to wake up Zhenya. He turns his head to look at the alarm clock. It's 6 a.m.
"If you value your lives, another hour at least,"
Sid calls, his voice rough with sleep.
"But Sid," Austin whines. "Go back to bed,"
Sid says, and pulls the covers over his head. That just gets him a dog and Austin and Lexa on his bed. Tara, at least, seems happy enough to settle down to nap against Sid's back.
"But if you get up, we can open presents,"
Alexa says.
"There is no way your parents are up,"
Sid says, pulling down the covers just enough to make a face at them. Austin and Alexa trade shifty looks.
"Didn't you go to midnight mass? How are you awake?"
Sid says, and then a pillow hits him in the face. He rolls over to see that Zhenya moved just enough to lob one of his pillows over.
"See?" he whispers to the kids. "Another hour. Go back to bed. Unless you want to wake him up."
"I told you it wouldn't work,"
Alexa mutters to Austin, and the kids clamber off Sid's bed. Tara remains behind, though, a solid weight against his back. And usually when Sid's up, he's up, but Zhenya's started to snore again, and Sid thinks he'll close his eyes for just a few minutes. He wakes up a little later when the bed shifts under him, and he wonders if Lola's joining them. He reaches out a hand blindly, and is surprised when it lands on a person instead of a dog.
"Morning,"
Zhenya says. Sid opens his eyes to see Zhenya sitting up against the headboard with a cup of tea. Sid's hand is resting high on his thigh.
"I thought you were a dog,"
Sid says, still confused with sleep.
"No, that Talbo,"
Zhenya says, looking far more pleased with himself than he usually is first thing in the morning.
"What time is that?"
"Almost 8, Zhenya says.
"Kids be back soon."
Sid doesn't even want to know how he knows.
"I make you tea,"
Zhenya says. He nods toward the nightstand between their beds. Sid groans. Tea means sitting up, and also, the nightstand is so far away. Zhenya laughs at him and puts a hand in his hair.
"Poor baby,"
he says.
"This is why I don't go back to sleep,"
Sid grumps.
"It makes me all like this."
Zhenya makes a fake sympathetic noise and reaches over Sid to put his mug on the nightstand. As soon as Sid hears the clink of the mug against the wood, Zhenya drops on top of him, completely boneless.
"Jesus!"
Sid groans. Zhenya may look gangly, but that doesn't mean he's not heavy.
"You look cold,"
Zhenya says, burying his face against Sid's chest.
"I'm blanket."
Sid squirms, because Zhenya's elbow is in his stomach. Tara huffs out an annoyed breath and hops off the bed.
"You scare off puppy,"
Zhenya says. He sticks his hand over the edge of the bed and waves it around, hoping to lure Tara back in for pets.
"You did that, you oaf,"
Sid says, scraping the bottom of the insult barrel. He's actually pretty comfortable, though. Zhenya's heavy and warm on top of the blankets. It's easy to let his eyes slip shut again, let his breathing fall back into a slow rhythm, until Zhenya says, sounding suspicious,
"Hey, you sleeping again?"
Sid murmurs a negative, though if there hadn't been loud, repeated knocking at the door with a chorus of purposefully off-key Christmas caroling, he might have dozed right off.
"We wish you would get up and open presents!"
comes a warbling refrain of Lemieux carolers, and Sid groans out a laugh.
"Okay, okay,"
he calls, trying to shove at Zhenya to dislodge him.
"We'll be right down."
Zhenya obnoxiously nuzzles his neck before levering himself up.
"Time for shower?"
"Nope," Sid says. "Pajamas for everyone. We'll clean up after." There's coffee waiting when they get downstairs. The kids impatiently herd them to the love seats and look at their parents expectantly.
"It's after 8,
Stephanie says.
"And everyone's awake,"
Austin adds.
"Can we open presents now?"
Alexa says. "Well," Natalie says, and waits a few beats, clearly just to mess with them.
"I suppose. Youngest first."
In short order, Zhenya has a knit Steelers hat from the family, which goes immediately on his head, and a signed Palomalu jersey from Sid, which he pulls on over his t-shirt. There's a really ridiculous pirate's tricorn for Sid, which he tries to set at a jaunty angle to the shrieking laughter of the kids. And from Zhenya, a box of fishing lures.
"I think we go fishing trip,"
Zhenya says tentatively. "Absolutely," Sid says, and hugs him. The kids empty their stockings. Then they're put to work cleaning up the wrapping paper while the rest of them head to the dining room for breakfast. Sid ends up next to Maria's mother. He tries his best to translate the flow of French for Zhenya's benefit. It's really hard to keep up, and Sid's level of respect for George and Sergei skyrockets. After breakfast, Sid and Zhenya head back upstairs to shower and get dressed. Sid's not really sure what the expected dress for today is, so he just assumes it's like Thanksgiving. He's deciding between 2 button-downs when his phone chimes with a text. It's from Jack, a simple, "Merry Christmas," that Sid responds to in kind, adding, "Call you tomorrow?" They've been meaning to catch up for a while. Sid smiles when he gets a text back that says,
"Not before 10 or I'll end you."
Finally, his family shows up for Christmas dinner. Taylor hugs Sid hard, and babbles out what she got from Santa before disappearing with Stephanie.
"Are you having a good Christmas, honey?"
his mom asks.
"Yeah,"
Sid says, watching Jenny laugh and try out a few words in French in both grandmothers, who beam at him in response.
"Yeah, I am."
"What up?"
Jack says. Sid snorts. "What up yourself? Did you have a good Christmas?"
"I'm never eating again,"
Jack says blissfully.
"I mean, at least for another hour. Is your family still there?"
"Yeah," Sid says. "I'm pretty sure Taylor's still around here somewhere, anyway. She and Stephanie are joined at the hip."
"Like you don't know what that's like,"
Jack says, and Sid can hear the smile in his voice. "You started it," Sid reminds him.
"I meant Janya,"
Jack says. It's weird to hear Jack call him that. But then, Sid only remembers to call him Gino to the media and strangers. "We're not always together," Sid says. Which is true. Janya has dinner with the Gonchars, plays pool with Max, and watches Steelers games with a rotating cast of teammates.
"But you're together a lot. And he's still cool with you, right?"
Sid called Jack the day after he sort of came out, and freaked out at him a little.
"Or do I need to come to Pittsburgh to lay a beat down?"
"He's cool," Sid says. "The guys, they've been great. Really." He pauses for a moment. "It'd be awesome if you could come for a visit, though. I was really hoping we could hang out this season."
"Me too,"
Jack says. "But the Pens didn't play Detroit, and they couldn't make it work."
"But maybe spring break? I could cut out a class on Friday and drive to Pittsburgh."
"Really?" Sid says. "Wait, am I..."
"You're not playing. It's toward the end of the Olympic break."
"Yeah, that still stings, to know he'll be staying in Pittsburgh and not playing in Turin." "That'd be great," Sid says. Jack looks up the date so Sid can write it down on his calendar.
"So, if Janya's cool, and your team is cool, are you gonna rethink the no-dating rule?"
Jack asks. He's conspicuously casual, like they've never had a blowout fight about it. "I still don't think it's a good idea," Sid says.
"Look, I get... okay, like, I'll never really understand how it feels, but there's gotta be a middle ground. I know Pat told you to be careful, so don't pick up people in bars, but if somebody's got a friend and you hit it off, maybe see where it goes, is what I'm saying."
"Oh yeah, that'll happen," Sid snaps. "How many gay friends do you have who aren't me?" Jack blows out a frustrated breath.
"Sid, I want you to be happy. If you can honestly tell me you're happy with that one sad dirty mag that you didn't even buy yourself, then okay."
Sid opens his mouth to insist that he's happy, but what comes out is, I'm not ready.
"All right,"
Jack says easily.
"Just think about it, okay?"
"Okay," Sid says, though even that feels like too much.
"Just promise me one thing."
"What's that?"
"Buy some new porn. Variety, dude."
"You're the worst," Sid accuses.
"Do you know what you can buy online?"
Jack sings songs to him.
"Anything. Discreet packaging is your friend."
"Oh my god," Sid says. But he mentally files it away to investigate later. They play Toronto at home on the 27th, after which Sid has to say goodbye to his family, who head back to Nova Scotia. And then it's New Year's Eve. Janya's been buzzing for days about the party at the Gonchars that they've both been invited to. Sid knows that a bunch of their teammates have something else planned, but Janya's done Thanksgiving and Christmas with Sid. Now Sid can do New Year's with Janya. "Do we bring something?" Sid asks, because he has this feeling like his mom would know if he showed up empty-handed. Jenny stops rifling through the shirts in her closet. It's gotten a little ambiguous whose side of the rack is whose.
"I can ask,"
he says. Ksenia mercifully assigns them to bring pop and ice, which is easy enough to pick up on the way over, even if the store is a zoo. They're among the first to arrive at the party, which means that Sergei gives them a sneak preview of his stash of fireworks. Sparklers, obviously, he says. There's a huge heap of them in the plastic tub the fireworks are stored in. And these, harder to find this time of year, but they had a few left. Going by the packaging, it's brightly colored, probably dangerous, and definitely awesome. They're interrupted by the doorbell, and Sergei hurries off to answer it. Zhenya picks up a box of sparklers. He's got a soft smile on his face.
Last year, big surprise, he says. Good surprise.
Sid smiles too. When he thinks of that night, he goes a little warm. I hoped it would be. Zhenya puts the sparklers down and closes the lid back on the tub.
Come on, he says.
He puts his hand to the small of Sid's back to urge him forward.
We get drinks and start eating.
Start is the right word. The dining room table is already practically groaning under the weight of the dishes crowded on top of it. And as more people arrive, they have to do some creative rearranging to fit all the food they bring.
What if I eat all of this myself?
Sid says, taking another bite from a second piece of black bread with butter.
Fight you for it,
Zhenya says. He makes a happy noise around his mouth full of salted mushrooms and waves at Max, the skating coach, who just came in. There's a lot of Russian being spoken, not exclusively, but enough that Sid's glad for the practice he had at team breakfasts on the road and the times he's been able to do a little studying on his own. It's still really difficult, and he understands more than he can say, but it's not like there's a lot of heavy conversation. He feels like he's keeping his head above water. Also, one of his primary conversation partners is Natalie, so that helps. He carries her around on his hip for a while, and gives her little bites of cheese and olive salad and clementine slices when she asks for them. There are a few other kids, but she's the youngest, and obviously feeling shy around so many people.
Pretty dress,
Zhenya tells Natalie in Russian, when he finds his way back to the table for more food.
Are you dressed up for Father Frost?
Zhenya told Sid and the Lemieux all about getting visits from Grandfather Frost and the Snow Maiden on New Year's Eve. Grandfather Frost evidently looks a lot like Santa Claus. There seems to be chocolate involved. Or maybe a song? Zhenya wasn't enormously clear on that point.
Is he coming here?
Natalie asks, her eyes wide.
Maybe,
Zhenya says. He winks at Sid and disappears into the kitchen. There's a big commotion when someone tromps in dressed in red robes. It takes Sid a moment to realize it's George under the fake white beard. There's a lady with him that Sid doesn't know, and the Snow Maiden's blue robes and fur hat. Natalie wriggles in his arms, and he sets her down so she can run to see them.
Here, Sid,
Zhenya says in his ear. It's a good thing Sid didn't jump in surprise, because Zhenya's holding two shot glasses full of something clear and probably deadly. In the crush, Zhenya's half wrapped around him as Sid tips his shot into his mouth and swallows.
Good?
Zhenya asks. I'm gonna be so drunk, Sid sighs. Zhenya shakes his head.
Still early. Keep eating. Not so bad.
They do keep eating, and drinking, and Sid relaxes enough to try a little of his Russian on George and Max. At some point, Natalie's put to bed. The other kids are flagging, but trying to make it to midnight. More people arrive, and the house is really stuffy. A few windows are cracked open, but after yet more vodka, Sid feels overwarm. He tugs on Zhenya's sleeve, and Zhenya follows him out the back door and into the yard. It's a big yard with a nice deck and a swing set covered in a dusting of snow. There's a treehouse off to one side, and Sid wanders over to look up at it. He puts his hand on the ladder, and it feels sturdy, but he's not dumb enough to test it when he's had so much to drink.
Look fun,
Zhenya says. He smiles down at Sid.
You having a good time?
Yeah, Sid says. He feels like his smile is too big for his face. Great! Nice to get some air, though.
Jenny laughs at him and pats his cheek just to be a jerk. Even out in the cold, Sid's face still feels hot.
Midnight soon,
Jenny says, leaning against the tree so Sid is bracketed by the ladder on one side and Jenny on the other. Yeah, Sid says. He ducks his head. I kind of wish we'd brought our own sparklers, so we could light them together, like last year. Jenny makes a noise of agreement. Sid looks up, and there's enough light from the house and the moon to see Jenny's expression. It's soft and happy and affectionate, and Sid thinks, that's for me. That's for me. It makes him feel brave enough to say, I wished for this last year. He's close enough that he can see Jenny's eyes widen slightly.
Wish for hockey together?
He asks. Sid's brow furrows, because, well, yes, but he finds the penguin pendant under Jenny's shirt with his fingertips. Not just that, he says. Jenny looks down at where Sid's hand is resting on his chest.
Still can't believe,
he says, almost to himself.
Here we are.
Here we are, Sid agrees. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And he's so lucky. Happy New Year, he says in Russian, and it sounds so much better than when he said it last year. They've both come a long way since that night. Jenny is close and warm, and he leans down, his big hands cupping Sid's jaw.
Sidnyusha,
he whispers. He leans closer still, his lips hovering close to Sid's, and for one breath-stealing moment, Sid thinks Jenny means to kiss him. Really kiss him. Sid's heart races. He shuts his eyes. Jenny presses a kiss to Sid's cheek, not high on the cheekbone like last time, but closer to the corner of his mouth. Sid clutches at Jenny's shoulders for balance. He feels dizzy from emotion and vodka, and the feeling of Jenny's lips lingering on his cheek. He opens his eyes again when Jenny pulls back a little, and he doesn't know what Jenny sees in his expression. But Jenny makes a soft noise and then goes in to kiss his other cheek, less tentative. Sid shivers a little, because it's cold and because Jenny's lips are moving against his skin and, oh, Sid wishes he wouldn't stop, wishes Jenny would wrap his arms around Sid and kiss him for real. They break apart when they hear the door out to the deck slide open. The sounds of the party flood the yard momentarily before the door slides shut again.
We should go back inside,
Sid says reluctantly. It must be close to midnight, after all. But he doesn't think it's his imagination that Jenya isn't eager to let him go. And he doesn't let go of Sid for long, because Sid misjudges the step back up to the deck a little, and Jenya slips an arm around his shoulders to steady him. I think I'm really drunk, Sid says. Surprised by the revelation.
You drink more, you get better,
Jenny says with a shrug, and Sid knows it doesn't make any sense, but it seems like a good idea anyway. They shove some of the endless spread into their mouths to combat the alcohol they're putting in their system, but their efforts are foiled by the glass of champagne they're handed by the snow maiden, who passes by in a blur of blue and glasses. Aren't you not supposed to mix liquor and wine? Sid asks, even though he's totally going to drink it anyway.
No beer,
Jenny says, squinting like he's really thinking about it.
You're young. What do you care?
George says, appearing out of the crush at Jenny's elbow. He's missing the beard, but still wearing the robes.
This is the time to make those mistakes and fix it with grease in the morning.
Sid doesn't want to think about his inevitable hangover yet, so he tries to open up another clementine. The key word being tries, because if it was a little bit difficult earlier, it's basically impossible now. Jenny chuckles and steals the orange away. Sid would complain if it didn't result in perfect little clementine wedges. It's okay. I do for you. Zhenya says, sweetly condescending.
Shut up, said Saz. He holds out his hand for another piece, only to have Zhenya push it right against his lips.
See, you can be most lazy now, Zhenya says soothingly.
I'm not lazy. Sid insists around the orange wedge Zhenya pops into his mouth. He goes to wash it down with some champagne, but it turns out his glass is already empty. Oh. Whoops. He looks around for the snow maiden with all the glasses, but she's nowhere to be seen. Zhenya sighs deeply and throws his arm over Sid's shoulders, his hand flat against Sid's sternum.
I have to peel, have to share drink,
Zhenya says, but he pulls Sid close as the countdown starts loudly throughout the house. Sid can feel the vibration of Zhenya counting all along his back, and remembers to count himself just in time for
3, 2, 1.
The cheers are loud, and there's kissing all around them, but Zhenya just tips the glass to Sid's lips, offering him the first drink.
Happy New Year,
Zhenya says, quiet and warm and right in Sid's ear. Sid spends the first few seconds of the new year gulping down champagne, trying to keep up with Zhenya's pour, until Zhenya pulls the glass away and chugs the rest of it in one swallow. He puts down the glass, pulls Sid around to face him, and wraps his arms around Sid tight. Zhenya drops a kiss into Sid's hair, right at the crown of his head, and Sid sighs happily. The champagne is making his head feel fizzy, so he slips his arms around Zhenya and leans into him, trusting Zhenya to keep them upright.
Happy New Year, Sid murmurs into Zhenya's collarbone.
There's a clear movement of people for the doors, because Sergei's fireworks aren't going to light themselves. But at the same time, Sid is really good where he is, snuggled up in Zhenya.
Sparklers, Sidnyusha,
Zhenya whispers into Sid's hair. Sid hums and reluctantly lets go of Zhenya, who's probably the best hugger Sid knows. Zhenya keeps an arm around Sid on their way outside. He hands Sid the lighter before holding out both the sparklers for Sid to light.
Tradition for us now,
Zhenya says, tracing their numbers in the air.
Yeah,
Sid says, smiling as he tucks himself a little closer in to Zhenya's side. He likes the sound of that, of things they'll do together, with luck for years to come. Anything else he might say is cut off by a whining hiss and a loud pop, followed by the most impressive display of amateur fireworks Sid has ever seen. It's a surprisingly long show, and it's cold enough that Sid is doubly grateful for Zhenya's arm around him, Zhenya's cheek resting against the top of Sid's head. When the fireworks die down and there's been an appropriate amount of clapping, everyone heads inside. Some people leave, presumably to relieve babysitters or pick up their teenagers, which mostly means that there are more bottles of champagne for Sid and Zhenya to finish. It feels like his glass is never empty, which is ironic, considering he didn't have any champagne of his own for the toast. He tells Zhenya this, maybe a couple of times, because eventually Zhenya just keeps feeding him orange wedges. Sid doesn't think that much time passes, but Sergei walks through a suddenly empty living room with his arms full of Gatorade bottles, stares at them, and sighs. Sid has to admit that he's probably not at his best, sprawled on Sergei's floor by the New Year's tree with his head in Zhenya's lap, a pile of orange peels balanced on a napkin on his chest.
So, you'll be needing a guest room,
Sergei says. And even if he did call them a cab, Sid definitely doesn't want to go back to the Lemuse this hammered.
Yeah, Sid agrees. Thanks, Gotch.
Well, don't thank me yet,
he says, watching as Zhenya tries to pick up the orange peel napkin without losing any of them.
There's only one bed left, so you guys will have to fight it out.
Sid shrugs. It's not a problem, he says, glancing up at Zhenya. Right?
You gonna snore,
Zhenya says, sounding resigned.
Steal my blankets.
You steal the blankets, Sid shoots back, even though it doesn't matter, because Jenny makes the whole bed warm, blankets or no blankets.
I don't care how you sleep in it, Sergei sighs. Come on, this way.
Jenny nudges Sid.
You gotta get up first,
he points out, and he's right, but Sid's limbs are all heavy and limp. Sid frowns up at Janya. Moving seems extremely unlikely at the moment.
I gotta do everything?
Janya asks Sid. No, Sid says, but it sort of sounds like yes. The two of them get up somehow. Janya mostly drags Sid upright.
Unfortunately for you two, there aren't any guest bedrooms on this floor,
Sergei says, ushering them along.
Oh, no,
Sid says, staring up at the obstacle in his way.
Stairs.
Oh, yes,
Sergei says unsympathetically. It's sheer luck that all three of them make it up the stairs without injury, but the bedroom Sergei shows them into has a bed, and that's all Sid cares about. His eyes are heavy, his head heavier.
You two going to be okay?
Sergei asks, putting a couple of the Gatorade bottles on the nightstand.
Yeah,
Sid says. He nods and starts unbuttoning his shirt. Thanks, Gunch.
Go to bed, old man,
Janya says, waving Sergei off.
Thank you for leftovers and morning. You better wake up before noon, then, or there won't be any left,
Sergei warns him.
And remember, we have to fly to Toronto tomorrow afternoon.
Sid and Janya groan in unison.
Exactly,
Sergei says.
Good night.
He bustles out, and Sid flops against the bed.
I'm too tired to get undressed,
Sid says, rubbing at his face with his hands.
I'm not do that for you,
Janya says, which of course immediately makes Sid think about Janya undressing him. The flush in his cheeks isn't just alcohol anymore.
You worry about yourself,
Sid mutters, because Janya's belt is stupidly complicated, and he's reaping the consequences of that now, fumbling at it as Sid watches. In the time it takes Janya to get his belt off, Sid manages to shuck off his pants. He tosses off his undershirt, because he's still overheated. The bed is smaller than the one they have at home, and feels even smaller when Janya climbs in. Their knees knock together awkwardly as they try to get comfortable and make the most of the space they have. In the process of getting his pillow into the perfect position, Sid accidentally brushes noses with Janya.
Good night,
Sid whispers. He's a little surprised by how close they ended up in the bed, but he doesn't have any objections. Janya chuckles and leans in to brush their noses together deliberately.
Good night, Signorisha,
he says. He repeats it in Russian, and that sounds even sweeter. The last thing Sid thinks before he passes out is that he could really get used to this. The next morning is misery. Misery and leftover salad. Sid has some vague memory of waking up in the middle of the night and downing Gatorade, but it wasn't enough. He and Janya huddle sadly around the kitchen table, drinking tea and eating leftover Olivier salad. Sid's feeling a little dubious about food in general, and that much mayonnaise in particular, so as soon as his headache has faded to a still terrible but manageable throb, he and Janya make their goodbyes and head out to Sid's car.
Gonna die,
Janya says, his expression woeful, but still hungry.
Me too,
Sid says grimly. He drives to the only purveyor of greasy food that's guaranteed to be open on the morning of New Year's Day. McDonald's. They go through the drive-thru and park in the lot, where they work their way through a bag of food and wash it down with coffee. Sid still feels half-dead and pathetic, but marginally more functional. Some guy does a double-take when he sees them, but he must be there for the same reason. He leaves them to eat their hash browns in peace.
They get safely back to the house. But it is too much to hope that Mary would let them escape upstairs without comment. He restrains himself to a raised eyebrow and a, "You might want to sit in the rear of the plane." Which, right. Sid really, really hopes he doesn't puke on the flight. Thank God they both packed the day before, so all they have to do is shower and change into their suits before heading back out the door. It's not until they're waiting in the private terminal for their flight, delayed due to the weather, it seems, that Sid starts to wonder about the night before. Jenny is slumped in the seat next to him, looking every bit as hungover as Sid feels, but he hasn't acted any differently this morning. As drunk as they were, he might not remember much. In fact, Sid isn't sure anything really happened the way he remembers it. Was he reading too much into stuff? Did he really want Zhenya to kiss him? Or would he have wanted anyone to kiss him when he was that drunk? He doesn't have any good answers. He steals a couple of glances at Zhenya's mouth and tries to imagine kissing him in the cold, sober light of day. Well, obviously he could do worse. Zhenya can make amazingly dumb faces, but Sid knows how his lips feel. Soft and just a little chapped. And he has nice shoulders, and he's so tall, and everyone in the Penguin's locker room knows that Zhenya is very well hung. So, theoretically, he wouldn't mind if Zhenya kissed him. But Sid hasn't gotten where he is by letting thoughts like that distract him. Jack was an aberration. Sid's known for a long time that he shouldn't look for what he wants on his team. It's not smart. It's definitely not safe, and the stakes are so much higher now. He looks at Max, who looks even rougher than Zhenya, and tries to imagine kissing him. He doesn't think he could get past the goatee. Or, well, Max in general.
"Why you make big frowny face at Talbo?" Zhenya murmurs.
"I'm not," Sid says immediately.
"You need more water,"
Zhenya concludes, and heaves himself to his feet before Sid can argue. He comes back with water and Gatorade.
"Here, drink this. Stop making bitchy face."
"I'm not making a bitchy face," Sid says, but he drinks the water. Colby and Flower are watching them with entirely too much interest. "You're so weird," Flower says with gleeful amusement, which is just the height of hypocrisy.
"Don't argue,"
Zhenya scolds when Sid opens his mouth to do exactly that.
"Drink. Finish."
Sid does it, but a little sulkily.
"How do you do that?"
Colby marvels. Zhenya nearly puffs at his chest as he slings one arm over Sid's shoulder.
"He listened to me,"
Zhenya says, and he sounds smug. Colby and Flower are both clearly waiting for Sid to throw a shit fit. But so what? So what if he listens to Zhenya? Zhenya likes looking out for him, and Sid's happy to let him. He relaxes into Zhenya a little more, and drinks his Gatorade until they're ready to board.